Thanks for joining me. You're listening to Confetti. I'm Debbie Quain. If you're passionate about planning weddings, don't I always say that? But it's the truth. If you're passionate about planning weddings, then Confetti Talk Show was designed for you. We discuss a variety of topics. Occasionally, the show is recorded live. And if you'd like to be part of the live episodes, please join the Confetti email list. Just head on over to weddingsforaliving.com. And you'll see the link for the Confetti Talk Show, or just go to confettitalkshow.com. It'll get you to where you need to be. Sign up to be part of the email list, and whenever there is a live show coming up, I'll let you know. Also, if you're based in the United States or in Canada, you can get a text message. Don't we all have our phones like within inches of our being? And if you text the word confetti, C-O-N-F-E-T-T-I, because I'm assuming that you cannot spell, sorry, text the word confetti to 71441 and you'll get a text message a few minutes before each live episode. Okay? So on this episode, I'd like you to hear the interview that I conducted recently with Wendy Binns. You may have heard that name before. Wendy, along with her husband Jeremy, operate eventprotraining.com, which is a website that hosts several videos that you can view on demand, meaning whenever it's convenient for you. If you want to learn how to do wedding design, wedding and special event design, lots of videos, very helpful videos about draping, ceiling treatment, wall treatments, centerpieces, anything that you would need to know to transform the look of a basic room to something spectacular. And brides and grooms are usually are much more willing to pay for design, in my experience, than they are for planning. So without further ado, here's Wendy. Wendy, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, and Wendy, can I share the news? I've said it now, so can
yeah.
I? We are expecting, right?
Yay!
We said we as though I had some... I had some major part in that. Wendy is expecting. She is having a baby. Wendy, tell us, what are we having?
Our third baby girl.
So I'm going to be...
My husband was rooting for a boy, but that's okay.
Well, there we go. So well, this is your third girl, so we'll just have to keep trying again for the boy. So Wendy, tell
no
us...
No comment.
No comment. We'll see. So... tell us, where did you grow up and where are you located now, so we can find out a bit about where you are.
I actually grew up, I'm actually a pastor's kid. I grew up in Kennett, Missouri. It's like the Boot Hill part of Missouri. And then when I was 16 years old, we moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and I moved here because my dad got a church. And so that's kind of where we came from, Nashville. And then I was married at 19 to my awesome husband. And therefore, that's how the business started, pretty much a little bit after that.
Wow. Okay. So tell us about the business and tell us about your husband.
Okay. Well, I could talk about my husband all day long. He's awesome. He kind of claims the genius behind the idea of the business. So I just give it to him. So that way it strokes his ego. I was actually a customer service person in a local business that was here. Hated it, hated my desk job. I'd be sitting there drawing pictures all day long and trying to, you know, just, I was very creative, and I knew I was creative, but I didn't really know what direction I wanted to go with being creative because I was so young and really just didn't know. So my dad had a church, like I said earlier. And so one day we were driving down the street and my husband said, "Well, you know what, why don't we just use things that we already know that we're good at? Your dad has a church, your mom's an interior decorator, you know how to do hair and makeup." That's pretty much all I knew. I know how to play the piano. And then he was actually just starting to get into photography. He said, "What can we use all these things that we already kind of are doing for, you know, a business?" So he said, "We should call ourselves One Source Weddings." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, that would be awesome." Well, then we had our first couple that had actually called my dad to rent the church, and my dad said, "Well, my daughter just started this business, and why don't you talk to her?" And I remember the very first time I actually sat down and talked with him, I couldn't even hardly talk because I couldn't even hardly breathe. Like, I was going, like I couldn't breathe. I was so excited, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I think I sold my first wedding for $300. That was, like, everything. And
so what were you doing exactly? So your dad is the pastor at the church. So what role specifically in the wedding were you playing? Were you doing the reception?
So at this point, I was like the wedding planner.
Ah, okay.
And then my mom's an interior decorator, so my great idea was to get my mom to do all the decorating. I had not a clue about decorating, nothing. So I had a guy in the church, and he said, well, I wish I would have had somebody when I was young to help me start my business. So whatever you need for decorations, I'll build you an arch. I'll make you, I think he made me these light posts out of PVC pipe and like those plastic vases, and then we put a flashlight in them with like little cellophane paper in it. I would never ever show anyone a picture of our very first wedding, but you know, it was, that's how we started.
I'd love to see the picture, Wendy.
I was the planner, and I don't think I really even had a title. I was just trying to put my foot in the water, see if I even liked it. So then Jeremy, he had a 35mm camera, and we took pictures for them. We had the arch. They had brought in the cake. I think that was probably about it. And the after it was over with, you know, I coordinated also. Didn't have a clue. I, like, researched the internet trying to find stuff on how to coordinate the wedding and, you know, all kinds of wedding stuff. And then after that wedding was over, they came up and they were like, oh, it's so awesome. It was so beautiful. You did such a great job. Well, that kind of, like, put the hook in me. And I was like, huh, maybe I can do this. So then we went to, I told my husband, I was like, and the pictures turned out, you know, like normal 35mm camera pictures, nothing spectacular, but he worked with what he only had. So then after that was over, I was like, I really like this. Did you like this? And he's like, yeah, I think we did a good job. So then I started going and calling different wedding people in the area. Can you teach me? Can you train me? I'll come work for you for free. You know, like anything that I possibly could do to kind of find out more about the wedding stuff. And nobody would tell me anything.
So tell me, Wendy, you were trying to find out how to do, help. You wanted help with learning how to plan or the design?
Just kind of wedding stuff in general. Like, okay, you know, what should I buy? If I want to do decorations myself, what's popular? How should I go about buying stuff? Where do I even look to buy stuff? Should I rent linens? Where do I rent linens from? And then I was trying to find a florist, you know, to work with me on packages and trying to develop how much should I charge, you know, things like that. So that's kind of like where we would start now. But then as I found out, people just didn't want to share. They didn't want to share anything. They were like, well, we have our own decorators and our own team, and we don't share how we get stuff or where we get stuff. So it was very, very frustrating, very frustrating at the beginning. We started going to flea markets, and we had a special package for $495. We, like, almost doubled our price from the very first wedding. And then that one even included a wedding cake. Like, it was crazy starting off what we charged. Like, it was just a hobby.
What year was this? Give us an idea of how long ago this was. What year was this, approximately?
2000, I think it was 2000, because it was right after my oldest daughter was born.
Okay.
And she was born in August, and I think we started doing that probably like November, January, things like that, where we started going to flea markets. We really didn't even know about bridal shows. We were so, we didn't know anything. Nothing. And we both went for college for different things. I went for music, and my husband was in the ministry part of it. So we didn't have any creative background in anything that we, you know, that we,
not
we didn't
officially
really know what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, we were just kind of dabbling in it and kind of seeing. But I think after what we did, I would put these flyers and hand them out at flea markets. I would put them in bathrooms everywhere we went. Like, I was a crazy marketing holic that I didn't even know how to market stuff. I figured as many places I could put my name and my telephone number, somebody would call me. And they did. They started calling, especially when they saw, you know, a whole wedding package for $500.
So remind us now, this was not just for weddings at your dad's church. This was just anyone getting married in your area. You were advertising that you would help them do the planning and the design, like the whole package. You said one source weddings, everything. Okay.
Yes. So that's so what we had done is we said, well, we have this arch. We'll start with that. And I did not, and one of the things was when me and my husband had first got married, which we've been married now for 16 years, when we first got married, we were very crazy, and we were like, credit cards, let's go buy clothes, you know, like really, really dumb financial things. So when we decided, we got in trouble at credit cards when we first got married, so we decided we were not going to go into debt if we were going to start a business. And so what we said is every bit of money that comes in, we will just use that money and buy more stuff and do it that way instead of just trying to buy everything at once. So that's what we did. We used what we had from the first wedding, and then we would add a little bit onto that. And so the next, we went from a $500 wedding to a $1,500 wedding.
What was the difference between a $500 wedding and a $1,500 wedding? Or did you just decide to raise your prices?
I raised my prices because we decided we needed to make at least a little bit of money to pay for the gas.
Okay.
To get there. So there wasn't much difference. It was just, also too, when you're first starting out, you just don't know what you're worth. And
right.
So once you do one wedding, you're like, hey, I'm worth more than that. And so then, you know, you go up a little bit more. And then as you get more talented in what you're doing, then you can charge more. You know, it went from an average of, you know, when we first started off, $1,000 wedding to $100,000 wedding. You know, that was our average weddings when we sold the business. And we sold the business 3 years ago. And, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but let me back up. What really changed our business, this is like the thing that really set us apart, because everybody in Nashville, we're talking a lot of people, there's a lot of florists that's in this area. There's a lot of wedding planners that's in this area. So I didn't really know how to make us set apart. I didn't know anything about draping at all. And we went into a VFW, and the ceiling was completely yellow from people smoking. And the bride was just like, oh, I just can't get married there, but it's the only place that I have that I can afford. So I said, okay, well, let's search for a solution. So I started looking at all these fabric places, and at that time, we had a local place that was a fabric mill that they had this material that was 120 inches wide, and it's called 40 denier is what it's called. And I didn't know anything about fabric at the time, but I was like, oh my gosh, I think this would work. So I told the lady, I said, if you will buy the fabric, I'll hang it for you. It took me 3 days to hang fabric.
Wow.
I tried everything from trying to figure out, like, I would go get curtain rods, and I tried to hang it at the ends of it with curtain rods, and then the curtain rods would bend, and all the fabric would come falling down from the ceiling. It was hilarious. For about 3 days, we worked on the ceiling. And right now, like, what took me 3 days before, I can do in 5 hours.
Look at that.
Like, it's crazy kind of how, you know, when you're first starting, you just don't know. I looked for training. I started asking decorators again. Nobody would teach me anything. I looked online for training. Oh, it was frustrating for a while. But every wedding that we would do draping, which from that wedding on, people started coming to us for draping. So there's really only a few places in Nashville that do draping, and all the prices are different and their styles are different.
Wendy, define draping. When you say draping, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, some people like to drape, like just cover up the walls. Like they see something ugly on the walls, they want to cover it up. They a lot of times you can't install permanent things or staple or, you know, nail to the wall. So there's these pipes and drape that, now the first pipe and drape that I ever did was something that you can rent. And when I got the drape from the rental place, cause I was just wanting to cover walls. I went in there, I said, I want to cover the walls. What's my option? So they sold me the pipe and drape, and it was, what's called banjo cloth. And,
what is that?
Very wrinkled. It was called banjo cloth.
Banjo, like the instrument?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's the type of cloth it was, but it's got a texture to it. They normally fold it up into a package, and it normally has those fold lines all over it. The ones that we got, it didn't even go all the way down to the floor. Like, it was all different levels. I'm a little OCD sometimes, and it just drove me crazy. And I called my mom, who's also a seamstress, and I called her, and I was like, oh, Mom, you got to come look at these. They're horrible. So she came, and she's like, oh, no, we can do much better than this. So she went to a local place and just got cotton, white cotton. And so she made some fabric drapes that were really pretty. They had the pocket in the top. They went all the way down to the floor. They were, I think, 8 feet long. Wow. I learned something way later on, but I didn't know anything at the time. But that worked for that wedding. So that got me started in wall draping. The ceiling draping is something totally, completely different. It's almost like you create a tent or a, I think a lot of people are more familiar now with draping because they use it a lot in magazines and
it's like being under a circus tent and looking up, right? It's like fabric just covering the whole surface, going out to the corners and to the edges.
You've got pretty swags kind of coming out from the center, things like that. It's lots of different techniques. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But the biggest thing is you just wanted to create another look. That was what I started finding is, man, this draping just completely changes the feel of it, the look of it, you know, like takes a armory and creates a ballroom, you know, it takes a barn or something like that. And just, it just makes it go 10 levels up.
Yes.
So that's what I consider draping. I absolutely fell in love with it when we started doing it. It's really hard. It's not easy. Even the things that look easy are not really simple.
The mechanics. So basically, draping is taking fabric and covering a surface in an elegant way, right? Like with swags and all of that. So it drapes and hangs nicely.
If they don't know, we've got tons on our website that shows. But let's see, where was that? I lost mine.
Sorry. So you said you figured out the draping, and the ceiling draping was the tricky thing. You said.
Yeah, right. And that's also what started getting people to us.
Okay.
A lot of times people would come in, but what I wanted to do is, if you go in, I had several of them that came in and said, we just want you to do the drape. So I would say, all right, well, then I'd go to the drape, and then the other decorators would come in, and I would get so upset, and I would say, you know, this could have been a gorgeous wedding, but they just messed it up with, whatever they did. So I thought, you know what, we're going to do full packages. Like, they're going to do all the decorations with us or nothing at all. Just because I kind of do it service by service, you know, like if they came in and they told me what they were doing, I might ease up on that a little bit. But it was one of those things that when a person comes in and you say, who did the decorations? And then they said, One Source Weddings. We couldn't say, well, we did this, but they did that and they did that.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't do the cake. And so I thought, well, if we're really going to be One Source Weddings, let's try to design everything and do everything. So I built up the team a little bit more, and one of the things I had a big issue with at first, and probably lots of decorators have this same thing, is I wanted to do everything myself, because when I did it, it was perfect.
Yes.
And if I left it to somebody else, you know, it might not be as perfect, and I'd get frustrated. But then I started learning, what does it look like in a picture? What does people really see when they come in? Do they see all the little fine details and, you know, or do they see the big picture? And so I started training. I said, I'm going to start training some people really good, and I'm just not going to be as strict on them for my standard, and then I'm going to see what they do. And I had my crew really rose to the challenge. I mean, they did an excellent job. And what I would do, I would go to a wedding. I'd say, okay, watch me make the centerpiece. And I'd have six of them stand around. They'd watch me make it. Or else, you know, this was a lot of times even before the actual day of the wedding. And I'd say, make it. And I said, watch me. And you're going to watch me. And I'm going to say, you know, if you're doing it right or wrong. But that actually created a whole nother level of our business, because we were able to do so much more when I was just the overseer instead of the actual doer.
It's like you cloned yourself. You got people to do what you were doing. You trained them how.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And you can grow so much by doing that. But a lot of people just say, oh no, I'm a stickler for details.
Yes.
So I had to learn how to not be such, so anal about, you know, all the little tiny details and start looking at, okay, what's this going to look like in the picture? How's it going to be when people come in?
Yeah, you have to learn how to delegate.
And just go, oh.
Yeah. So were you just doing, at this stage, one source wedding, you were doing like cake and food and all that too, or just design?
Well, I can't cook worth a flip, so we did not want me to cook any cake. So what I would do is they would come in and they'd normally say, you know, I have $20,000, I have $50,000, I have $100,000, and then we would actually design the entire wedding from top to bottom, and we would say, well, this is our DJ, this is our cake designer. And I used one of the best cake designers that was in Nashville to where I could actually draw it out, and she could take that drawing and duplicate it perfectly onto the cake.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you were kind of like the general contractor. The client was paying you all the money, and then you would take that money and pay other people out, other professionals to do that portion, like the person, the cake person, the floral,
the catering,
florist, the DJ, the catering.
Now, so. The floral, I was very, I had a couple florists that I started working with at the beginning, and I was so picky that they actually fired themselves from me.
Wow.
Like they said, we can't work for you. You're too picky. And what it was is I would say, before I talked to them, I'd say, this is what I want. This is my vision. And then it wouldn't be even the right colors, or the flowers wouldn't be open, or, you know, little things, but they were big things to me because they looked, you could tell it in a picture. And pictures, like people say, oh, they're worth 1,000 words. Well, they're also worth thousands of dollars. You know, if you have a good picture of what you're doing, that's how it normally sells. So I would always base everything, how's it going to look in a picture? So after I went through three florists, the fourth florist I went to, she said, you know, you know exactly what you want. Why don't you just do this yourself? And I didn't know anything about flowers. It really intimidated me at first. And she said, here's a wholesale place. And so she gave me our local wholesale for the flowers. And I realized you could make a lot of money by doing your own flowers, for one. And I realized it wasn't, there's a lot of books and a lot of information. So if you just have the time to do it or the staff to do it, then you can do it yourself and you can make quite a bit of money. We did all the flowers. We did all the centerpieces, all the draping. I had my own lighting. So as far as the look of it, we controlled the whole look. And then I had several different caterers that they could choose from different price ranges. But I had my one cake lady. I don't know if you can hear my dogs barking. They're barking. They're protecting us from something.
They're doing their job.
Probably a cat. Yeah. But when we first started the business, my husband would say, let's have another baby. And I'd say, let's get a dog. We ended up with three boxers after 6 years, I guess. Anyways, finally I gave in and had a baby. Okay, but anyway, so our whole thing was we wanted them to come in to be able to design a complete look, which when I have a lot of people come to our workshops, they say, oh, no, we can never do that. That's too much. But actually, it's really not. I mean, it's just a matter of if you've got people that you can trust, that will pull the vision off that you design, and you make a commission on everything normally. So you're not getting just one stream of income. You're getting like 10 streams of income. A lot of times I would talk like to my DJ, and he would say, you know, for every one that you get me that I don't have to advertise, I don't have to go sell,
right,
I'll give you 15%. You know, so he gave a percentage of whatever it normally was, plus he was the best.
Okay.
So it ended up, you know, working out good. It wasn't just like I was doing it for the profit, but, you know, it worked on both sides.
So you had complete control of that. So your clients, again, although they were paying you, but you were outsourcing to your preferred vendors and you would pay, or were there some instances where the clients would actually pay like the DJ directly and then you would just get a commission from that? Did you kind of mix that up?
The only thing that they would have to do is, with the DJ, the caterer, those two things, they would meet with the DJ and sign a contract with him, and then they would meet with the caterer and sign a contract with them. But they would end up paying us one check, and then we would pay everyone from that check.
Oh,
so they didn't
okay.
have to actually go. They didn't have to actually go out and pay all the different people. And if anything changed, they only had to come to one person instead of going out
Okay,
to all the
I
vendors.
like that idea. So the contract was with the caterer, with the legal agreement, but the payment, you just accepted the payment on their behalf and took whatever your commission was, and they were paid. Awesome.
Yeah, and
okay. We
designed it up front, so they didn't have to, like, we had all the menus from the caterer.
Yes, that
so
makes sense.
So they knew exactly kind of what they were getting before they actually met with people. Like,
yeah.
They'd meet with the DJ to talk about the music, they'd actually meet with the caterer to taste the food.
How did the venues handle that? Were there specific venues only that you worked with, or was it any venue in your area?
No. I worked with anyone. Anyone in this area, even there's several that we went out of state for. Like with the hotels, of course, a lot of times you have to use their catering.
Right.
So that's not, you know, that's not something that we can control. So, you know, things like that, you know, we worked around. But if it was someplace, a lot of times people came to us because they said, you know, we know that you can save us, because I'd be able to save them a lot of money depending on, you know, if they went to this location that we can have outside catering, they're going to pay $15, $20 a person instead of $75, $80 a person for food. So I'd show, you know, if they came in with a budget and they said, this is our absolute budget, but this is what we want, then I was actually able to help them find what location fit their
that
needs,
budget. Okay,
what they
wonderful.
Wanted.
And you just did
yeah,
your
so
homework.
That was definitely
you
the
just,
wedding planning part.
You just
of
kind
it.
Of went out and about and found places that ahead of time. So you knew, I guess, after just doing weddings for a period of time, you knew where to go and which areas
yes.
and which venues suited which budget. Okay.
Yeah,
wonderful.
And there was always new locations popping up.
Yeah.
And a lot of them showed up at the bridal shows and stuff. We did several of them that was at crazy locations like an airplane hangar or,
nice.
You know, just a meadow that was rented by the city for $60, you know, things like that, that we've done a lot of things that you don't normally think about. And that was kind of my job, too, is just to say, okay, how can you work with this budget and make it work? And that was the hard part. The finding the location is probably the hardest part, I think.
Yeah.
Because everything else is based off that.
Okay.
But I loved it. I thrived.
Yeah. So you
thrive in chaos.
I can imagine. So did you have any direct competitors at that time? Were there any companies doing anything similar for you? Like
no.
What you're doing?
And most of the companies around here, they didn't like us very much because they'd come, they'd say, well, you provide everything. You don't need us. And which was true.
Yeah.
I tend to not be so tactful sometimes with my dealings with other people. And so I'd go to I don't want to say any names, but like some of the local chapters of things that are wedding. and I'd go to there and everybody was very,
tight-lipped,
you know, well, not just tight-lipped, but kind of like
standoffish.
Hey, have you saw what we did? And we love you. And, you know, let me hug you and I'll be your best friend forever. And just really fake.
Oh, I see.
And then so I just couldn't. I'm not at all like that.
Right.
And so I'd just be like, I don't, you know, they're just not a good person, which they probably were. I tend to go with my gut on what I feel. But then they say, well, here's my card. You know, here's a DJ, and I'd be like, well, we already have a DJ. Here's my card. We're a wedding cake person. We already have our wedding cake person. So I didn't have, you know, why don't you try somebody new? Well, why try somebody new when I've got the best of the best already? That was my philosophy. You know, I probably should have said, sure, we'll try you maybe one of these days. Been tactful with it. But
the vendors that you had on board, like your DJ and your cake person, did they still get a chance to run their business to do jobs without the ones that you set up for them? There was no conflict there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We roughly did about 20 to 42 weddings a year.
Wonderful. Wow.
And it was, I would probably say that's probably not what I would recommend if you're married and have a family, like, because it's very hard. That was one of the reasons why, I mean, I probably would have never sold it ever because I absolutely, like, I found that it's one of my passions and I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And so my husband, we got to the point where I was gone. I was leaving like 7 in the morning till coming home about midnight every single day and even later on the weekends. And it was just not, conducive to good marriage. Like, you know, one of the things is I didn't need my husband for anything. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but like the business fulfilled that like admiration need, because everybody would be like, oh, you're awesome, you're a rock star.
Yeah.
And that would just fill my affirmation tank, where I didn't really need any for my husband. I didn't really need him for anything, and that was wrong. And it got our whole life out of order. And so I just realized, we both realized one day that we were either going to get a divorce or we were going to say, you know, family is most important.
Yes.
And so that is where we did. We said, you know, we're going to make family most important. And I literally, like, I cried for like a year. And I knew it was the right thing to do, but like when Twilight came out and they had the wedding scene, like where they got married, like I busted out boohoo and crying in the theater, ran to the bathroom. Like people probably thought I was like a crazy Twilight fan or something, which I won't admit it. But you know, things like seeing weddings, I couldn't even go to a wedding or anything just because I just loved it so much. And I was like, oh, I love my family, but I love weddings. And so I had to find it. And my problem was balance.
Yeah.
And is that I was just so far out of balance. So that is where we started. And my husband's like, well, why don't we start the training? So that's where Event Pro Training came into being, was that I didn't want to totally stop it, but I needed something where I could say, all right, let's back up a few steps. Let's refocus. Let's have babies, you know, let's, you know, try to rebalance our lives. So that's where Event Pro Training came in. And
so
Wendy,
you had sold the business at that stage, right? One Source Wedding had been sold. So that was where
and
you were
I
having
actually,
those withdrawals.
I actually just called, I called one of my previous employees that I knew could handle everything. And I just said, do you want the business? And she was like, what? And, so she did an incredible job. She's taken it a bit of a different direction than we had it, but that's totally okay, because when I gave it to her, I gave it to her. You know, like I could have easily said, this is what you need to do, but I didn't.
Yes.
So we started with the Event Pro Training. I thought what was so awesome about it, like a few years before we sold the business, I started doing workshops where I had some wedding planners. They said, you're crazy for doing this. You're crazy for sharing your secrets of how you do things and how you create the looks. And I thought, you know, everybody has a different style. No matter, I mean, you can teach everybody how to do the same flower arrangement or the same draping, and they'll actually create different looks and different ideas on their own. Like, it doesn't mean that they have to be me. And so I thought, you know, I'm just going to try it and see. And I figured that I would have a lot of people from Tennessee come to the workshop. The very first workshop I had 20-something people, and I think only one person was from Tennessee.
Wow.
And I had two people from Nigeria. I had from every state in the United States all around. I don't even remember. But I was shocked, and I was like, what? And people would get up and they'd start crying and they'd say, we thank you so much for opening up and telling us how to do stuff. I mean, it shocked me.
Was it was this a design workshop, or were you telling
yes.
them everything? Okay. And how did you promote it? How did they hear about it?
I just put it on a blog.
Wow.
I didn't do anything. And then people just found me online. So that was several years before we sold One Source Weddings. And then every time I do some, I had people, I mean, from every country in the world that I can think of, we've had a person come there to our workshop. It's kind of mind-blowing, especially at first. And I had one person come, she's like, you're like a movie star, rock star. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just a normal person, just like anybody else. But I guess that's how they thought in their head. I don't know. But it was awesome. You know, I was like, yes, I'm a rock star. You know, it made me so awesome. But I love being able to share it. And then I realized I had a more passion probably for teaching it.
Teaching, yes.
Than I even did doing it.
How long were the workshops? Like a day or two? How long did they run for, like each workshop?
just about three, normally about 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days.
Two days I couldn't get it all in.
Okay.
So I think 3 days is what we, I think even one time we did a 4-day workshop.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, it's like draining, like mentally draining, like to talk that much and teach that much. And then a lot of times we found over 3 days that a lot of people, it was just too much information for them mm-hmm. to retain.
Okay.
So that's our, so we started with that. And then when we sold the business, we were like, well, let's keep the workshops going, but let's also make it available for, you know, if a person can't come to a workshop, that they can just download the training video. And all of our videos are super step-by-step videos on everything that we did. So we did draping, and we did flower arrangements, some lighting, how to make a bouquet, you know, several things like that. And we still have so many more, like so many more videos that we want to do and that are in the, like in the lineup to do.
Yeah.
And I love, and we have so many people a lot of times that they'll download videos and then they'll actually come to the workshops after seeing the videos, because you can only do so much with the videos if you don't have the stuff to practice with.
That's right.
So at the workshop, we provide all of the products and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's where we're at right now. Is just being able to teach. Now, one thing I absolutely love also is that Jeremy and I, we also go to, like a lot of times wedding planners, if they haven't done a sewing first, or, I mean, they don't necessarily have to be wedding planners, just anybody that's doing decorating, then they'll call us. Like last month, I went to Indiana, and a guy had called and said, I've never draped to someone before. It's a huge sewing. I need to know exactly how much material to buy, exactly what products to buy, and I need you to come up here and help me do it. So we did. So that's something I love doing, too. Because it's kind of like we're in the background and we're teaching, but then we get to see them grow. Like we get to see that business really take off and grow from that point on, because a lot of people don't do a lot of draping, so therefore whatever area they're in, if there's not a lot of people doing draping, they'll get a lot of calls
right
really quick.
So he told me
already, that was last month, and he had I think 4 or 5 brides already calling to draping.
Are most of your students taking your that are doing like the in-person workshops, do they usually already have design experience, or can someone who knows absolutely nothing mm-hmm. come in there and then walk out of there and have that experience?
Yep, a lot of them just come in I've had several of them come in, they say, we just want to see if this is what we like to do.
Yes.
Put our hands on it, see if we're good at it. And some people come in and they don't get it. Like you teach them how to swag, and they just, it's hard for them to grasp the concept.
Is it technically difficult to master?
It is, and it's either, and there's a lot of people that come in that just get it, like, instantly. Like, they don't even realize that they're going along as fast as they are, but it's, there's different techniques. Like, there's some easy things to do that, I mean, there's literally things that anybody can do that I have no doubt, but when you talk about swagging, you know, there's a technique for that to make all the, you know, pleats look pretty and simple and, you know, to where it looks very effortless and elegant. But there's a technique to it. So things like that sometimes can get people hung up a little bit. Our last workshop, we actually came up with 3 sewing designs that were super duper easy. So that left them with no doubt at all that they could do those.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably like 5 or 6 or even 7 different ways that you can drape ceilings.
Okay.
And every ceiling that you do normally is different because the ceilings are different.
Yeah, like some have tiles.
Down ceiling,
yeah,
our tiles, things like that. So there's all these, and I'm, you know, not as I still do ceilings, you know, sometimes we come across things and we come up with a new idea on how to make it work.
Okay.
So therefore, we get more video, you know, video ideas,
content,
and
show
people from that. Mm-hmm.
What about materials? Do you have a list that's available for people to purchase, right?
Yes. Now, the only way they can purchase it now, we used to have it sold separately, that you could just purchase the wholesale list.
Mm-hmm.
But now it only comes with our all-access membership, which that's on sale right now. But the all-access membership is actually all of our videos and the wholesale list that they can watch anytime, either online are on their cell phones or on their laptop, you know, their iPads, whatever.
So break that down for us. What's available on eventprotraining.com? What levels? Tell us what's on there.
Okay. There's two different things that's on there right now. You can do downloads, which are single videos, but a lot of times if people have slow internet connections or things like that, it takes them forever to download. So you've got the download option for single videos, which are roughly between $20 and $40 an episode. Or you have the All Access membership, which we have different levels like a 1 day, a 1 month, a 1 year, and then we have a lifetime membership. And the lifetime membership is normally $599, and that covers complete lifetime for all the videos, any future videos that we make, you get those for free, and also the wholesale list. But right now, it's on a holiday special that we only do one time a year for 50% off. So it's $299.50.
Okay. So for less than $300, you can get lifetime access.
And all you do there is when you buy it, you'll create a username and a password, and then you log on, and it all shows up online.
Oh, so it's like on demand. You can, whenever you log in, you can check out your stuff at your own pace, whenever. Okay, got it. But if you want to get individual episodes, you need to purchase it and download it and watch it on, you know, wherever you put it on your local computer or your hard drive or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right. Yep. So conceivable, again, that if somebody cannot make it down to beautiful Tennessee, they can learn a lot by just getting the online membership and watching the videos that way, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, they can. And I tell a lot of people it's really better to get the videos first, because when you come into a workshop after watching the videos, it's like you're so much more knowledgeable about what we're talking about.
It syncs
together.
And
it's not just like from zero. But a lot of people, too, if they only get... after they watch the videos, if they just get fabric afterwards, and they can start practicing along with the videos, you know, like if they're doing just draping, if they do the centerpieces and every single thing that we have ever done, it's on the wholesale list. And there is a big show that's once a year, and it's coming up here shortly in January, and we will actually go there and get information from that and add it to the wholesale list.
Okay.
The wholesale list is actually worth its weight in gold, because it actually tells all the secret places that nobody will share that where you can get all the stuff from.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's the
So it's continually being updated. And what are our options if we want to come see you, if we want you to show us one-on-one? How does that work? Or as
okay, so it's really easy. We normally charge $2,500 for our workshop, and all we do is we actually just say that same price is for us to come help you. I've had two different ways that people have done, and you know, if you want to be creative and think of another way, that's fine with me. But I've had them to where they said, we're doing an event, we want you to come teach us how to do this one sewing, and so what we do is we actually charge the $2,500 fee plus whatever it costs for travel, and that's it.
Okay.
Now, I've also had them to where they said, Wendy, we don't have an event, but I want you to come teach our crew how to do ceiling drape or how to do this. And so sometimes they'll schedule 2 or 3 days. And then as long as they have a location that we can practice at and then the actual product, because they have to have the product. And so then, we charge the $2,500 fee plus the travel. And we keep it really simple. You know, sometimes we could charge more. Sometimes, you know, we can charge less. But that keeps it pretty even. It keeps it pretty fair, and it keeps it okay for us to come and do that. Now, right now, since I am pregnant and we're fixing to have a new baby, it's probably not going to be available for a little bit, but it won't be very much longer. And then we'll just bring the kids with us.
No, not really. Why not?
We have a nanny that will come.
Okay. So do you normally, I mean, as you mentioned, you're expecting now. So is there usually a schedule? Like if folks check on your website, will they know when the next training is happening, like in Tennessee? Do you plan it out that way? Okay.
Really, really right now, all I'm waiting on is for the baby will probably be here in March. And we're really shooting to try to do workshops starting again in the fall of 2014. And so I also, and I've also had some requests to go to California. And we've got a lady that's out there that we want to try to do one in the summer of 2015. But what's something that we didn't do before that we are going to do is have it to where they can make payments on it. So it being that far off, they should be able to kind of budget small amounts, you know, until they get paid for. So a lot of them will be able to come that wouldn't be able to come if I said, you know, it's going to be in 2 or 3 months.
Yes.
So we're going to try to put those, we're probably going to put the dates on there after the baby's born in March or April.
Okay. Yes. That helps with the cash flow and you can kind of break it up that way leading up to the event. Okay. Do you have any, were there any regrets? Would you have done anything differently based on what you've experienced to this point?
You know, I always say that there are, you know, there's only good examples. There are good examples of what to do and what not to do. So I think my good example of what not to do is just, you know, if you tend to be a workaholic or you tend to be kind of, you know, if you realize this is really your passion, and just to keep it in balance, you know, to realize that what you do doesn't define you. It's really who you are that defines you. So I would just, you know, I lost that at some point to where I thought the decorating is who I was. And really, I'm a pretty awesome person, even without decorating, but I lost that. And so I would just tell a person, you know, to keep everything in balance, to really keep your priorities in order. And before you even start a business, especially if you're married, you know, set your boundaries of what you're going to do. One thing I did that I wouldn't recommend is, you know, it'd be probably 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I would take calls from brides, or they'd text me and say, I just need to know what my invoice total is. And I'd get up right then, and I'd go in there. I would, you know, take my cell phone to a supper and lunch, you know, and those became rules for me and my husband that, you know, after a certain time, there was no calls. And you set boundaries with your brides, or else sometimes they'll take you on a ride. And so I would say that, just to make sure to set boundaries and to get your plan with your family together before you start getting your plan of your business together. Now, if you're a workaholic and you're by yourself, you know, go for it. And I'd say, too, there was a lot of times that I was scared to try something new.
Yes.
But it's a step of faith. It really is. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. And you've really got to be okay with the learning process. Some of my most creative things that we did was because of a problem. And I know some wedding planners get really worked up over things that go wrong, but things that go wrong are just opportunities, you know, to be more creative.
Yes.
And so I just say, don't be scared of the problems, because they're going to come, and you just got to step out on faith and take a leap.
Tell our listeners the bottom line. How can they learn more about you, your company, and wedding design training in general? What should they do? Where should they go?
Just go to our website, which is eventprotraining.com. And then if you have questions, I get emails all the time of people asking certain type of questions that may not be clearly where they can find it online. So if they have any questions, they can always email us from the website. There's even a number on there that you can text, which I am a texter.
Yes, she is.
You can actually text your question if you want something, you know, back to you quickly. And so that's one way. As far as the learning, everything is online. So all of our information is online. That's pretty much the easiest way to do, is just to go to our website at eventprotraining.com.
Wonderful. Okay. Wendy, as I knew you would, you provided us with so much information. It's great to hear the story of how you got to where you are. So again, Wendy Benz from eventprotraining.com. Please check out the site. And as Wendy said, feel free to reach out to her, not after 10 p.m., please.
6 p.m.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Central
okay,
is your deadline.
Anytime, I just won't return it back that night.
There you go. Yeah, you can try. You won't, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Wendy, thank you so much. Really appreciate you. Take care.
You're welcome.
Hi there. You just happened to be listening to Confetti, the wedding planning business talk show on ConfettiRadio.com.
Oh, like, who wants to get married these days?
What if two people want to share
their
love together?
Okay, stop it now. I'm bored.
Okay.